The only way that these village corporations have to generate this profit on the bottom line is to convert their assets to cash, their main asset being the lands. The actual money flowing to these village corporations, especially the smaller, more remote ones, is very minimal. And so the only other asset available is the surface aspects of the land, which is, as has been pointed out, very important to the culture. And in my experience, there are a number of village corporations that have been pushed to the limit and been forced to look to selling part of their land to generate enough cash so that the bottom line would show a profit. This indicates that it's fairly inappropriate for the villages to be set up this way, as it is the land which is so important to the natives. A couple of the villages which have been forced to sell land, the Eyak Corporation has sold some land within the Prince William Sound area to Anchorage residents just to generate enough profits to keep itself running as a village corporation.
What's the name of that one?
That's the Eyak.
E-Y-A-K?
E-Y-A-K, yep. Right. There are some other examples of villages, although most expressed the desire not to have to sell the land. They also expressed the fact that they had to remain profitable to maintain themselves as a corporation, and that if worse came to worse, they would be forced to sell some land to generate some profits. Therefore, it's fairly obviously that the, and because the land is so important to this culture, because the business skills aren't really available within most of the rural villages and village corporations, it's just inappropriate for the corporations to be set up as profit corporations, and therefore they should be reorganized into some form that reemphasizes the priority of preserving the land instead of maintaining a bottom line profit on an annual basis. And somehow these corporations need to be reorganized into either a nonprofit or the land needs to be transferred back to an IRA type of government. This is just my general conclusion, having talked to 17 village corporations and my personal opinion on the situation in Alaska now.
Just before you go, Mr. Pierce, you said you've talked to 17 village corporations, and that's in connection with what?
I'm a graduate student at the University of Washington, and I'm writing a master's thesis on why it is inappropriate for ANCSA, or for village corporations, to be set up in rural Alaska, because it's not jiving with the culture.
Were the 17 corporations that you've questioned chosen at random, or are they designed to be a cross-section of all the regions, or?
No, I would say that most of them were chosen because of my financial constraints on ability to travel around. Most of them were accessible by road, therefore they were not even the most rural of the village corporations. A lot of them were within the interior, and they had an office in Fairbanks where you could go talk to somebody. I talked to a couple of them out in Bristol Bay, the Aleknagik Village Corporation and the Chogyung, and then quite a few that have offices in Anchorage and then in the southeastern area also.
Right.
So most of it was where I could get without spending all my money.
Yeah. Fine, thanks. I appreciate that.
Sure.
We're going to reconvene again at 7:30, and we've had 30 people speak so far today, and I want to express my thanks to all of them, and to welcome, we had a pretty good turnout today, although everyone seems to have preceded me in deciding it's time to adjourn. So you're welcome at 7:30 tonight, and then again at 10 o'clock tomorrow morning.
Okay. There's one thing I wanted to clarify about what I said earlier, is that we think that the lands and the stocks, if sold, should go back to natives. I didn't mean that they should be sold to anyone.
Well, maybe we should get underway, folks. Either my glasses have fogged up, or this is the most dimly lit hall I've ever been in, but anyway, I'm sure we'll get along fine. Well, my name is Tom Berger, and this is the Alaska Native Review Commission, and as I told the folks who were here earlier today, my job has been to review the Alaska Native Claims Settlement Act of 1971, and I've been traveling around Alaska for a year. I've been to 60 villages and towns, and I've heard the testimony of more than 1,400 Alaska Natives and other Alaskans, and we decided we should come here to Seattle to see what Alaska Natives who are resident here in Seattle had to say about the land claim settlement, what they think of it, the good side, the bad side, to see what their views are regarding prospects for the future. Now, I don't represent the U.S. government or the state of Alaska. I was appointed by the Inuit Circumpolar Conference, which is an international organization of Eskimos from Alaska, Canada, and Greenland, to do this job. The World Council of Indigenous People is an international organization of Indian people from around the world. They are co-sponsoring this commission. We've been finding out what happened after the Land Claims Settlement Act. What difference did it make to you? Did you get any benefits? What did you expect to get? What does it look like now? How have the Native corporations worked out? Then, of course, there are the questions that deeply concern Alaska Natives. The question of the land. We've been to villages in every region of the state, and Alaska Natives are concerned that they may lose their land. And there are three dangers to Native ownership of the land in Alaska, the 44 million acres received under the settlement. One is they all stem from the fact that the land is a corporate asset. People got shares in the Native corporations got the land. If the corporations go bankrupt, they could lose the land that way. After 1991, these shares go on the market and the corporations could be taken over. People could lose their land through a corporate takeover. And finally, if the state of Alaska decided in the 1990s to impose a tax on property and the Native corporations couldn't pay the tax on their 44 million acres, they could lose the land that way. There are some very important issues that arise. The children born after the settlement have no right to be enrolled as shareholders. They may take shares when their parents die. that if their parents leave them their shares, but they have no right to be enrolled. So thousands and thousands of children born since 1971 are not included in this settlement. Then there's a question of sale of shares after 1991. Some people in Alaska say, well, look, all I got out of this settlement was these shares. I haven't got any money. I haven't got any land. So after 1991, I want to sell my shares, and I'll get some money for them, and I'll get something out of this settlement. Of course, if enough people sell their shares in the Native corporations will no longer be Native corporations. They'll belong to whomever buys those shares. So if somebody from Seattle or New York or Los Angeles goes up to Alaska or to buy the shares in those Native corporations and succeeds in acquiring shares, they may wind up owning the Native corporation and the Native land. So there's a real question. Do people feel there should be restrictions on the sale of shares? Do they feel that if they sell their shares, they should only be able to sell them back to their corporation or to another Native person? Well, these are questions that I'd like you to think about and give me your views about today. Then there are the issues that we discussed earlier today. Fred Paul suggested that land should be transferred from the corporations to IRA governments, traditional councils, so that the land could be held for the future and could not be lost through bankruptcy or corporate takeover or for any of those reasons. So there's a lot of important questions to be considered, and I'm looking forward to hearing what you have to say. We had a very good turnout today, and about 30 people testified, and I learned a lot from them. We are going to hear testimony tonight. When you testify, if you wouldn't mind coming up and sitting at this chair beside me, speaking into this mic so that Jim Sykes with the earphones can take everything down on tape, and then there will be a permanent record. It'll be typed up, a permanent record of everything said at these hearings. And my report, which will be coming out in September, will be based on what Alaska Natives have told me and what you will tell me here today. And I will be making recommendations regarding the land claim settlement, recommendations regarding the land, the shares, and I hope those recommendations will be useful to Alaska Natives. They'll come out in September. I'll be making recommendations as well for Native people and their governments in other countries who are starting to settle their land claim settlements, and they want to know what happened here in Alaska. They want to know, not here in Alaska, but there in Alaska, and, you know, we're here. I know we're in Seattle. I didn't overlook that. They want to know what happened with the Alaska settlement, the good things and the bad things, so they can learn from the things that were achieved that turned out well, and so that they can learn from the mistakes. So that's why we're here tonight. Mr. Alex Jackson wanted to go first because he has to leave. If you're here, yes, sir, just go ahead.
Hi, I'm Alex Jackson. I'm a Thlinket from Southeast Alaska, and I'm a shareholder in Sea Alaska. And one of my greatest concerns is keeping Sea Alaska Native-owned, predominantly and only Native-owned. When I talk to people about shares in Sea Alaska and things like that, they say that there are laws you must abide by. We are the original inhabitants of Alaska, and the white man came to our country and made laws for us, and we respect those laws. So we should make laws for ourselves and for them and have them respect our laws. Only Natives should be able to inherit land rights and Sea Alaska shares. It should only be kept Native. That is one thing, the land, I identify with. When the Alaska Land Claims Act came out and was official and I had my first $1,000, I thought, wow, they are bringing us together. So we should stay together. One of the laws that I would like to see the natives of Alaska make is that only natives can inherit the shares in their corporations, and only relatives can inherit the shares. This is the only land base that I know the Thlingets have to identify with. If we lose this identity, we will be scattered again. This is our only chance. We should, regardless how poor we are, I'm the poorest man in here. But I would not sell my land, I would not sell my shares just to enhance my pocket for a brief moment and lose my identity. And if Sea Alaska cannot see what I see, they should hire me, they should put me on their payroll. I'm not prejudiced. I was raised by white Christians. I went to their schools. But I remember when they were prejudiced towards me, and in some places still are. And when you mention Sea Alaska, the people that are prejudiced towards me would get angry. I was up in Alaska about 6 or 7 years ago, and I was sitting in a restaurant, and somebody said, "Do you belong to Sea Alaska?" I said, "Yeah." And one guy got up, and he said he was a politician. And he said, "The worst thing we ever did was give land back to the Indians." I don't think that's the worst thing they ever did. The worst thing they ever did was they taught us how to read and write and do math. If you ever hear if you ever give the floor to a Thlinget, it's hard to relinquish it from him, because he learned to master that English language so good. I even hate to hear a Thlinget prayer. It takes so long, my neck gets stiff from bowing. So we should keep our land, we should keep our identity, we should keep Sea Alaska nothing but native owned. The natives should make laws to protect themselves. Like I said, we respect a white man's laws, and they should respect our laws that we make to protect ourselves. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Jackson.
My name is Carol Rialli. I'm a shareholder of the Bering Straits Regional Corporation and the Sitnisuak Village Corporation. I primarily have traveled a lot in the U.S. and Europe. My father was a military man, and I've only really been visiting Alaska in the last 4 years, and I've been tremendously impressed with the natural beauty of the country, of course, and that therein lies my primary interest in being a shareholder as an Alaska Native. I think the opportunity of promoting the corporations for that benefit is something we have to more fully develop. There have been some problems in different corporations, but it's all been a learning and a growing experience, and it's something that Alaska has to come in tune with the rest of the U.S. in terms of managing its natural resources. And I feel the corporation system is probably one way to definitely to do that in a cost-effective manner. There are a lot of issues that I am still kind of undecided about also. I think the one that I feel the most about is the 1991 issue or of allowing stock ownership to be open to other than natives. I feel that that time frame, if there was no reason for it, is actually a little unrealistic because the majority, I'm only guessing at this, but I think the majority of shareholders in all the corporations are underage, really, you know, non-voting age to really make a decision in their best interest and the best interest of the corporation. So I'd like to see that deadline, if that is something that we can't change, at least push back further till more of a majority of our shareholders and all the corporations are of a voting age and are more fully aware of all the ramifications involved with the issues that we do face as Alaska Natives.
Thanks very much.
My name is Martha Benzel, and I'm a shareholder. When Congress established...
In which corporation?
Sea Alaska.
Oh, Sea Alaska.
Okay. When Congress established the corporations, it was the intent of Congress to help all of the native peoples of Alaska. And yet, after 11 years, we have hardly seen any of this happening to our people, for our people. To date, we have seen nothing but mismanagement, high salaries, favoritism, non-shareholder hire with high salaries. And many of you have stated you want a all native control. Believe me, it's not. Many of our shareholders are now owned by non-native, and it's going to get worse. So I don't see the reason why we should be so concerned about native control, because we no longer have that much over our corporations. We have talked to and are very concerned as shareholders. We have talked to the board of directors. They have not listened to us. They turned their backs on us. We are called dissidents, the few of us that have dare to question some of the things that they are doing. We're talking about 8 resolutions that's been submitted by AFN. I see great harm in it. They're telling us that they're trying to hold back to where we can't sell our shares. I think every person has a right to do what they want with their shares. By 1991 and more, our children, many of them, will be diluted with other races. Our ancestors fought for this. They wanted land. They didn't want a corporation. Corporations are monsters. I was an Indian, Tlingit Indian, long before the corporation. And I'll still be a Tlingit Indian long after. And as for pride and heritage, I knew that when I grew up. I have a lot of pride in my heritage. It has nothing to do with Sea Alaska or any of the corporations. Like I said, our ancestors fought for this. They sacrificed. They gave their little dollars for our sakes. And we are not fighting for our survival. Let our children fight for their survival. How many of our children are interested? How many of our children go to the meetings? I have a big family. I'm the only one that goes and is concerned about the welfare of our people. As for the land, I would also like to keep the land. I'm getting up in years. I'm the sole support for myself. I would like to have something coming in to support me when I get old. And many of our Native people now, they are giving a little dancing once in a while. Their way is paid. And that's the price they're giving. To me, it's very shameful. We should hang our heads in shame for that. We were brought up to respect our elders, and we don't respect them now. The 8 resolutions that is submitted by the AFN will restrict us, tie us up for another, 20, 30, 40 years? And how many of us will be around that long? Think about it. This is your future, our survival. We know of when a shareholder is hired, they have to pay their own way. Say Canary, for instance, they have to pay their own way. A non-native is hired, their pay is way to wherever they're going to. You go down to Ocean Beauty down here, how many of our shareholders are working there? None, very few, maybe 2 or 3. Three? And you go to PacWest? I heard of one where this lawyer, his wife, was a Tlingit. She went to PacWest. She was not hired. And 3 other non-natives went there and were hired. The only reason why he knew this was it was his brother-in-law's. No, his brothers. And this is what goes on. Many of us do not ask questions. We need to. That's about all I can think of at this point.
Thank you, ma'am. Thank you very much. Yep.
Greetings. My name is Thomas K. Octuk, Sr., and my address is 3024 South 8th Street in Tacoma, Washington. I am speaking today on behalf of my 6 children, Penny Tayauk, Thomas Killick Jr., Timothy Kevin, Eileen Robin, Douglas DeWayne, and David Scott Octuk, and myself. I want to relate my feelings on the Alaska Native Claims Settlement Act. First of all, I'm a product of a relocation program, a program I feel that was detrimental to my people. In fact, it dispersed many people from their families, many of them whom were potential leaders. But many have come back to their villages or have settled in areas of employment in different parts of the state of Alaska. But in my case, I have remained here in the lower 48 since 1963. As I look back in the early 1970s, there was not enough information regarding the enrollment procedure or the process or the pros and cons in enrolling at large or enrolling in two corporations, that is, the regional and the village. I always felt in my mind that land or ownership of land was very important to my people. After all, this is rightfully ours. I grew up in Igloo and Teller, Alaska area, and I feel this is my homeland today. In my heart, it is my homeland, because that's where my roots are. But in reality, this is not true, as there are two entities today, these being Teller Native Corporation and Igloo Native Corporation. I opted to enroll myself in Teller Native Corporation, enrolled myself and my six children, since I was raised there. My idea at the time were two things. Number one, that I may gain ownership in land. And number two, this was one way of supporting my fellow people in Teller. I am deeply hurt and enraged as I am talking to you today. And when you feel this way, it's really hard to express things constructively. I really feel that the Congress of the United States knew from the very beginning what would happen 13 years down the road after the act was passed. There should have been at least a five to seven year moratorium before the release of the monies to the corporation. During this time period, meetings could have been held to educate the Native people about the enrollment process, especially to people like me living outside the state of Alaska. Also, I feel that governments should have been set up in all villages and how they want to set up their governments. I really believe that the act should have included monies to set aside just for this purpose only. In this way, the people and their governments would have set their goals. And this is very important to have this, because there are many problems facing these people today. These are government problems, not business problems. Along with setting up these governments, leaders or potential leaders should have been educated through training or workshops about running a corporation. Feasibility studies, and I can't stress this enough, feasibility studies should have been made into business developments or business transactions. Once these were done, funds then should have been made available to them at their discretion. This is 1985. 14 years has passed, and I'm in awe as to what has happened to my regional and village corporations, these being Bering Straits Native Corporation and Teller Native Corporation. The money, I feel, that was due me and my children, held in stock through these corporations, went through and literally was given away due to poor judgment and poor management. There is no question who got the best deal of this Alaska Native Claims Settlement Act, but that can be changed. Now, the question facing my people today is the year 1991, which is only 6 years from now. That depends entirely on the Native people themselves. Is money and land going to split up the people? Look at the history books regarding the Native Americans here in this country and figure it out. I really believe in unity, The Alaska Natives must unite and use every tool possible, the young and the elderly, to resolve this issue. Many great civilizations have come and gone, and in some cases, we don't even know what has happened to them. The Eskimos have survived through centuries, even through their roughest times in the past. We must forget the turmoil caused by mismanagement in the early 1970s and look forward. Look forward ahead. Right now, I'm thinking of my own children. I want them to enjoy life to the fullest, with pride and dignity. This is possible. Anything is possible. We must not give up. We must not give up this ship. We must go on. I do question one thing about the distribution of the profits of the 12 regional corporations. I feel that every stockholder, whether it be at large or village, should receive that portion as dividends. I feel that there should not be a cushion to fall back on for any corporation. Their main goal is to make money, not lose money. I believe that the distribution plan must be scrutinized. I want to thank the opportunity to talk to you about my feelings, good and bad. I feel better already. Thank you. Fiona.
Yes, Mr. Jackson.
I hate to respond to anybody's statements, but a question arises in my mind when I hear somebody say, leave it to our children to straighten out. I think our children's gonna have even greater problems than we have today. If our forefathers who fought for this land rights, this land claim, left it up to us, where would we be? We have to pave the way for our children. We cannot sell out our land, or there won't be nothing for our children to straighten out. There are a lot of things that I don't agree with in Sea Alaska, such as in hiring. Why do they buy a corporation or a company that's gone bankrupt, and then in the sales have a clause to keep the people that are making it go bankrupt? If we are going to go bankrupt by non-shareholders, we should go bankrupt with our own people. But we should also let our people who are in office know here and now, buy no corporation, buy no company, and buy that labor that's putting them in the red. We should put our own people to work. And if we sell out, we won't have nothing. Bear that in mind. Regardless whether I receive just as much money as you, I'm not a board member. Maybe I should be on the board. I could see more clearly than the whole board combined together. I may run for office and I may ask for your support. Thank you.
Thank you. Yes, ma'am.
I'm Marilyn Heights. I was spoke this morning, and I've told everybody since of my experience up here, and I said, be sure and write down what you're going to say or you're going to forget it. And that's just what I did. I had a big speech, and I made it, but the point that I made was that I forgot what I was going to say as my punchline, and that was that the main discussion of today, in which I forgot, and that's is that we are discussing 1991, and there we all went. Well, many of us went to this presentation See Alaska put on with all these 8 points that Mr. Dalton has already addressed and very well, and the thing that hit those of us most was the presentation was based on the fact of the keeping the status quo. In other words, we were not going to change anything, but the corporations were going to stay in place, the manner in which they were being managed were going to stay in place. And those of us who do not feel at all enthusiastic about the present situation were not impressed. And this is my point, is that the present management of many corporations has been very unprofitable. Most of us do not wish to continue with the present leadership of our corporations, and these propositions, that's what they're aimed at. And what we want to know is why should we change what the Act has put in, because the Act at least will be a change. The things that are right now that we are antagonistic towards will end. And that is the fact that we have no real input into how the corporations are made. Or else, another gentleman gave me this to read because he's a little shy and didn't want to come up here. And it says, or else our management, this is the way they could do it because they are still in a learning stage. We feel strongly now that any major expenditures of over $1 million should be decided by the stockholders by a majority vote. In other words, let the shareholders know what they're going to do before they do it, not the other way around, and then we have nothing to say about it. It's already an accomplished fact, and what can you do to stop it? And we feel that at least this way they would have to think twice. We couldn't stop them from doing it, but at least they'd think twice and maybe they wouldn't do it. Why don't they put management on a profit-sharing basis? This will create an incentive for management. Sample, a $90,000 salary, except I understand this is a small one. Some of them are $200,000. Reduce it to $50,000 with a percentage based on every $1 million of net profit, thereby making sure that it's the management's going to benefit by good management, not just, well, gee, here's money, play with it and do what you want and goodbye. And I did, that's the most of what I should have said this morning, and thank you very much for your time.
Thank you, ma'am. Thank you.